As many of you know, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, so I'm not familiar with the gospel songs that a lot of children sing. But of course, as Nancy and I became believers and then got married, and we raised our kids singing different songs. And some of the songs are definitely more biblical than others, okay? But how many of you know the song Father Abraham? Let me see your hands. You know Father Abraham? Okay. I thought maybe we would start off singing a little bit today. I know you're already smiling. You say, why would you sing during a sermon? Because it's not counted as special music if it's during a sermon. Because Dale won't let me do special music, okay? But I'm allowed to sing during sermon introductions. So here we go. Ready? Chris, you want to help us out? I'm going to sing. You guys sing with me, yeah? If you know it. Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. Now, I looked up, good job, by the way. And thank you, Christy. Okay, we're good. Thank you. I looked this up online, and the one thing I didn't understand, because I had to look it up to make sure I had the words right, I looked it up, and there's all this hand first, feet second, and other things. I don't know what that means, okay? And so, I don't know if I ever actually sang it. I've heard it sung. You say, why would you bring this up? Well, let's talk about it a little bit. We all know who Father Abraham is, right? We've read our Bibles. We know that there's an Abraham in Genesis, and the Lord appears to him, and he promises him that he's going to have many sons. So we're good so far. Father Abraham had many sons, and they would be more numerous, right, than the stars of the sky. Even though he didn't have any sons, right, that Abraham would believe this promise that God gave him. So Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. We're good. Last phrase, let's all praise the Lord. Well, you can't go wrong with that, right? How about kind of right in the middle? I am one of them, and so are you. Is that true? Is that accurate? And what does that mean? And why would I bring it up? Well, we're here in Romans chapter 4, okay? And in Romans chapter 4, Paul wants to make Abraham an illustration of justification by faith. And so this is just a review from the last time we were in Romans together. And we went through a message on Abraham who was justified by faith. And there's 4 points there. You can see those. That in verses 1 through 2, we considered Abraham's example. And Paul makes the point that works don't justify, verse 2. If Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God, because you can't be justified by works. And then we went down to verse 3. And what does the scripture have? It has the record that Abraham was justified by faith. Abraham believed God. It was credited to him as righteousness. Of course, there's a quote from Genesis 15, verse 6. And then we looked at verses 4 and 5, where Paul explained that God justifies the ungodly. And that wonderful verse, verse 5, but to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. And then we have the quote from David, where he says, David, that those that are justified by faith are blessed. Notice you're going to see that word 3 times. Verse 7, blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven. Verse 8, blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. And then the question, is this blessing then on the circumcised or on the uncircumcised also? So here we are, and Paul is using Abraham as a great example of justification by faith. And a lot of Jews would be fine with this because Abraham is the father of the Jewish nation and Abraham's circumcised. So there's going to be a whole lot of Jews saying, hey, this is good with me. Become Jewish, get circumcised, believe the gospel and be declared righteous. And I'm even okay with throwing David in there because David's the greatest king of the Jewish nation. And he, of course, was circumcised. So whether you want to go Abraham or David, the bottom line is what? Become Jewish, get circumcised, believe the gospel, and be justified. A Jew typically, frequently at least, would have no problem with that at all. And thus many would possibly conclude that the blessed people are those who what? Are circumcised and then believe.
And that would be a very typical conclusion, but it's not Paul's conclusion. And Paul wants to make sure we understand that. The title of the message this morning is Abraham Justified by Faith, Not Circumcision. And we're going to look at verses 9 through 12, and hopefully we'll make this clear. Just three simple points, right? First point this morning, okay? First point, it's a reality. Paul wants us to understand that justification by faith, it's a blessing. We've already seen the word blessed in verse 7 and blessed in verse 8. Verse 9 is going to again have the word blessing. Now, I want to focus on the second half of verse 9 to begin. Paul writes, we say faith was credited to Abraham is righteousness. What's his point? Justification by faith is a great blessing. Abraham was justified by faith. Righteousness was credited to Abraham's account, not by works, but by faith. And to repeat from what we had 2 weeks ago, this is incredible that he would use Abraham, because obviously, Abraham's in the Old Testament. That means this is not a new idea. Justification by faith has always been true, even before Christ came. And to even be more particular, Abraham was before Moses. So you can't say justification is by keeping the law of Moses, because Abraham's earlier, and he's justified by faith. Now here's the problem, and I've already alluded to it a little bit ago. Who is this blessing for? That's our second point. We're already on point two. Number one, the reality, justification by faith is a blessing. Number two, the question, whom is this blessing for? And we might think, you know, Greg, is it really that big of a deal who it's for, as long as you believe? Well, it's a big deal to the Jews. It's very big. Because remember, they're thinking Abraham, Jewish, at least the father of the Jews, and circumcised. David, king of the Jews, circumcised. And so as long as we're talking about be circumcised and then believe, you can be justified by faith. Paul wants to make sure he deals with that point. Now today, let's be honest, we think circumcised, not circumcised, who cares? But back then, they really cared. You say, why? Because the Jews were incredibly proud of their heritage. The Jews rightfully saw themselves as the chosen people of God. And they had incredible pride that they were what? Children of Abraham. And that continues throughout the New Testament. It's not just in the Old Testament. Let me give you a couple examples maybe. Do you remember when John the Baptist was baptizing? And here he is talking to Jews, and what does he say to them? He says in Luke 3:8, bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not, see, he knows what they would be thinking, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father, for I say to you that from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham. John knew that all the Jews took incredible pride in the reality that they were children of Abraham. And that is how the Jews typically thought. Let me use an example from the life of Christ in the Gospels, John chapter 8, verses 30 through 31. Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. You will know the truth will make you free. He's talking to a Jewish audience. Notice what the response is, John 8. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been enslaved to anyone. Jesus, what are you talking about that we need to continue in your word and be free? We are children of Abraham. And then in that same chapter, John chapter 8, verse 39, Abraham is our father. Same chapter, John 8, verse 53. Surely you're not greater than our father Abraham. To the average Jew, the idea that we are the children of Abraham was more than just we're Jewish. It was the idea that we are God's special people. God accepts us. He doesn't accept other people that aren't Jewish, but he accepts us. This is how they thought. And the symbol of their Jewishness was circumcision. So much so that they would actually consider uncircumcised to be a derogatory term. It's like us maybe using the word pagan. And I could show you that in many places. I'll just do one or two here. I think many of us know the story of David and Goliath. And here is the brave young man David. And what does he ask? 1 Samuel 17:26. What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine, Goliath, and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God? He doesn't know the living God. Today we'd say he's a pagan. I mean, who is this guy? He doesn't know the real God. Uncircumcised. And that's how the Jews thought. And that, once again, I'll make the point, is not just in the Old Testament. We know from studying Acts recently what was happening. The gospel was going forth and Gentiles were believing. There were a whole lot of Jews who didn't like that. And it's not even that the Judaizers, we call them, were opposed to the gospel. It's that they just wanted to make sure you became a Jew first, got circumcised, and then you could believe in Jesus. Okay? So, for example, I'll just give you one example. Acts chapter 11 here, and you can see it on the screen there. Acts 11 verses 1 through 3. Now, the apostles and the brethren who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. They weren't happy. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those who were circumcised took issue with him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." Peter, why would you do that? Why would you eat with uncircumcised heathen pagans? And that's how the average Jew thought. See, they were okay. They were fine, some of them, with a person believing in even Jesus Christ once they got circumcised, once they became a Jew. And even when they hear the gospel, people are still believing this way. And this is why we have verse 9, back to Romans chapter 4, verse 9. Very important question. Is the blessing then on the circumcised or the uncircumcised also? It's an incredibly big question for these Jews. You say, Greg, does it matter? Let me give you a parallel question, maybe, that I think is very similar for our own contemporary society. Do you have to be baptized to be a Christian? Do you know that a lot of Christians say yes? Do you know that there are, not all, but some Lutherans who would say you can't be saved apart from baptism? That there are some disciples of Christ who will say you can't be saved apart from baptism? Caution. They won't tell you baptism saves. I got to be careful. I don't misspeak. There are some Lutherans and disciple of Christ professing Christians, and this is what they'll tell you. You are saved by grace alone. And you will receive that grace the moment the water hits you. And God will minister that grace to you at the moment of baptism. Baptism doesn't save, we all know that. And they will agree that baptism doesn't save. But they will say you are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, as soon as you're baptized. And it's kind of tricky language. I think that's pretty close to what's going on here. That's why this is such an important question, verse 9. Let's look at it again. Is this a blessing then on the circumcised? That is the blessing that comes when you put faith in Christ and faith alone and are declared righteous as Abraham was. Is this blessing on the circumcised? Those are Jews. Or on the uncircumcised also? Very big question. And of course, Paul wants to answer that question. Okay? So what have we seen this morning? We've seen, number one, there's a reality. Justification is by faith. It's a great blessing. Number two, who is this blessing for? That's the question of the hour. And number three, obviously, is going to be the answer. And that'll be our third and final point this morning. What is the answer? The answer is this blessing of justification by faith is for all who believe. It's for all who believe. Notice verse 10. Paul says in verse 10, how then was it credited? The blessing that Abraham received when righteousness was credited to his account after he believed. Verse 10. How then was it credited? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? And the genealogical, the chronological order of events is clear. When did Abraham believe God and it was credited to him for righteousness? Genesis chapter 15. When did God command Abraham to engage in the practice of circumcision? That would be a sign of being Jewish. That would be Genesis 17. How much time is there between Genesis 15 and Genesis 17? No one goes less than 14 years. Some go as high as 29, but no one goes less than 14. If Abraham is here a believer, he believes in Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah, and he is declared righteous. And that happens at least 14 years before circumcision. How in the world can anyone conclude that you have to be circumcised to be declared righteous? That's the point that Paul's making here in verse 10. Again, I read verse 10. How then was it credited? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. Verse 11. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while circumcised. Why? And there's going to be kind of a long sentence here, okay? It's going to be a sentence that has two purpose clauses to it, okay? And so we'll take these one at a time. The first point, Abraham is the father of believing Gentiles. That's why this chronology is so important. Paul's making the point, verse 11, that he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while uncircumcised, so that he might be, purpose, the father of all who believe without being circumcised. You can believe the gospel without being circumcised. You say, I've never been circumcised. So what? Who cares? Inconsequential. I must have read that word 50 times in all the different commentaries. Inconsequential. I think that's a good word. It doesn't matter. You can come to Jesus Christ, not be Jewish, not be circumcised. You can believe in the Lord and be declared righteous by faith and faith alone. Now, let me point out something in verse 11 just so it's clear. Notice a couple words I skipped over. Abraham received the sign, key word of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while uncircumcised. Notice the word sign and seal. Some people say they're equivalent. Some people say there's a little bit of a nuance of difference. Let's assume there's a little bit of nuance, even though they overlap quite a bit. A sign is an indication of another reality, okay? So if somebody receives the sign of circumcision, what is circumcision? It's a sign. What kind of sign? That a person could be justified by faith. What is a seal? A seal is kind of a certification. It's a certification of another reality. So a sign is the idea that circumcision stands for something else. A seal, whatever it stands for, you got it. And the sign and the seal have absolutely no meaning apart from the reality that they're associated with. None whatsoever. Let me see if I give you an example. Maybe 2-3 years ago, I was helping my daughter look for a car, and we ended up buying a used car. We ended up buying a car that was certified. It was a certified used car. What does that mean? It means that in the paperwork, we got a piece of paper that said the mechanics for this brand of car went all through it, and they checked it out, and it's a big number. I don't know what it is, 120, 130, 140, 150-point inspection. It's a certified used car. What is a certification? Well, it's basically a piece of paper that says we checked out your car. Okay, what good is that piece of paper? It's not a perfect illustration, but I hope it helps. Can that piece of paper get you to the store? No. I mean, take your phone, right? Hit Uber, right? Hey, can you drive me to the store? Yeah, okay, so you're going to pay me. No, I got a piece of paper. I'm certified, right? You say, that doesn't work. You know, we don't accept pieces of paper that say certified. Does that piece of paper get you to work? Does that piece of paper get you anywhere? No. What good is that piece of paper apart from your car? It's meaningless. If you have the car and it's been inspected, then that piece of paper certifies. Yeah, it's inspected. But you know what? You can have a car that's inspected without that piece of paper, right? It really doesn't matter. What matters is that you have a car that's an actual car that's reliable. Maybe that would help us understand. You say, what good is circumcision? Inconsequential. It really is not important. But notice what the text says, okay? Verse 11. He received the sign. It's not important. It's related to salvation. He received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while uncircumcised, so that he might be the father of all who believe. Notice that phrase. So that he might be the father of all who believe without being circumcised, meaning not Jewish, that righteousness might be credited to them. How many of you are not Jewish? Raise your hand. Yeah. Does it matter? No. Doesn't matter at all. Do you have to become Jewish before you put faith in Christ? No. It's inconsequential. Doesn't matter at all. So notice what the text says now. That he, one more time, verse 11, that Abraham might be the father of all who believe without being Jewish. That's me. I'm not Jewish. I've believed the gospel. Based on verse 11, am I a child of Abraham? And the answer is what? What's the answer? I'm a child of Abraham. I can sing that song. Father Abraham had many sons. I am one of them. I am a child of Abraham because I am a Gentile who has put faith in Jesus Christ. How many people here are non-Jews who have put faith in Jesus Christ? Raise your hand. You can sing the song with me. And some of you are thinking, Greg, I don't want to. Okay, that's fine. My wife already said that. I had it on YouTube, and I said, honey, listen. And she said, don't play that song. She said, because it just goes over and over in my head. And I hope that's not true of you. I probably shouldn't have mentioned it. Okay? So what's Paul saying? Abraham, what, is the father of believing Gentiles? You see, I always thought Abraham was the father of Jews. Is Abraham the father of Jews? Well, let's see what Paul says in the text. Let's go to verse 12. And the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, pause. The father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised. You say, what does this mean? That Abraham is both the father of Gentiles who believe, and Abraham is also the father of Jews, but careful, not just any Jew, But at least in this sense, Abraham is the father of believing Jews. Do you see that, verse 12? To those who not only are of the circumcision, Jews, but who also follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised. So the true children of Abraham are believers. You say, what if I'm Gentile? You're a child of Abraham if you believe the gospel. You say, what if I'm Jewish? You're a child of Abraham if you believe the gospel. The true children of Abraham are those who believe the gospel. You say, Greg, and what if I'm Jewish? Doesn't matter, not Jewish. Doesn't matter, circumcised. Doesn't matter, not circumcised. Inconsequential. Which maybe you would think, then what does it mean that Abraham's our father? And I have a text up from Genesis chapter 4, verses 20 through 21. Obviously, it doesn't mean that we are somehow genealogically related to Abraham. But it's that those who come after him will share the same characteristics of Abraham. Even as it's used in Genesis 4, 20 through 21. To give birth to Jabal, he was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. Does that mean that everybody who lives in a tent and has livestock can trace their genealogy back to him? No. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who played the lyre and pipe. If you play those two instruments, does it mean you can trace your lineage back to him? Obviously not. It's just that these are characteristics that these men shared and characteristics that continue today. I've heard it said this way. Many people say George Washington is the father of the United States. Does that mean we can all trace our lineage back to George Washington? No. It just means some of the things that he taught many people today would embrace. What is Paul making clear? Abraham is the father of believing Gentiles. Abraham is the father of believing Jews. Abraham is the father of all who've been justified by faith. So what do we have? We have a reality. Justification by faith is a blessing. For whom is this blessing? And the answer, it's for everyone who believes. Jewish? Fine. Not Jewish? Fine. Circumcised? Yeah. Not circumcised? Whatever. Justification is by faith for those who believe. Paul writes in Galatians 3, 6 through 7, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned or accounted to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. If your faith is in Jesus Christ, you are a true son of Abraham. That's what we've seen this morning. Let's go ahead then and wrap things up with a summary. Now, number one point, you maybe didn't think about, but I hope it'll make sense. Number one, Paul cared deeply about justification by faith. You might say, Greg, we've been talking about this doctrine for a little bit. Yeah, that's correct. You say, why do you keep bringing it up? I don't. Paul does. Remember, I preach through books. How do I decide what to preach on? Most of the time, I don't make any decision. I just take what comes next. You say, so why are we on justification by faith again? Because Paul's on it again. Maybe we should care deeply about the things Paul deeply cared about. When I first became a believer, I'm not sure I had this type of an emphasis on this doctrine. But I want to make sure we as a church really understand this, that justification by faith, it matters. It mattered to Paul. It should matter to us. Second point of summary, justification is by faith. Religious ritual earns no favor with God. So a person goes out and gets circumcised, becomes Jewish. That means nothing in God's sight. It's of no value. It's simply a religious ritual. And it will in no way help that person get to heaven. Third summary point. Abraham's the father of whom? Of all who are justified by faith. So you may have kind of been thinking, even when we sang that song, Father Abraham had many sons. I'm one of them. You know, I'm not even sure about that because, I'm not Jewish. Is that what's going on? And the answer is no. The true children of Abraham are those who believe in Jesus Christ. Jewish? Fine. Gentile? Fine. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you believe in Jesus Christ. A fourth summary point. Religious systems continue to oppose justification by faith. As I understand it, this is not a big deal to modern day Jews. That typically Jews today don't think, I have been justified by faith in Jesus Christ because I've been circumcised. That's just not on their radar. It's basically just a works religion, per se. You say, okay. So, you have your point. Religious systems continue to oppose justification by faith. Greg, give me what you believe would be a great example. Okay. It's an example that I think many of you can anticipate. According to the Roman Catholic Church, there are seven sacraments. You have them listed there. Baptism, confirmation, Eucharist, penance, anointing of the sick, holy orders, matrimony. When I was an infant, I was baptized. Why? Because that gave me grace. That's the allegedly. I don't believe that. But that's the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church. And then I did my confirmation. And we all knelt down and a bishop came and he blessed us all. Why? Because that gave me grace. And then I think it was second grade or so, I made my first communion, Eucharist. Why? Because that gave me grace. See, that earned favor of God towards me. And then penance. You say, what's that? I made my first confession. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. My last confession was so long ago. Forgive me for the time I've done this, this, and this. And the priest would say, say so many Our Fathers, Hail Marys, and you'll be forgiven. Fine. And then I know of loved ones in my Catholic heritage, and it was very important before they died that there's an anointing of the sick. Before you leave this world, you got to have the priest come and anoint you with oil. Why? Because that gives you grace. Holy orders would be becoming a priest or a nun. Matrimony is the so-called sacrament of marriage. And you might be thinking, Greg, do they actually believe that those bring a person favor with God? Yes. And do they actually deny what you're preaching today? Yes. And I want to show you that. Because I realize you might be thinking, Greg, maybe that's what you think, but come on. Let me show you from the Council of Trent on the sacraments, Canon 4, this is a quote. If anyone saith that the sacraments of the new law are not necessary unto salvation, but superfluous, and that without them or without the desire thereof, now I underline this, men obtain of God through faith alone the grace of justification. Did you get that? If anyone says, like I'm saying today, men obtain of God through faith alone the grace of justification. If anyone says that, and it's through grace alone, and then it goes on, all the sacraments are not necessary for every individual, meaning you don't have to have all the sacraments. Not everybody gets married. Not everybody becomes a priest. But if everybody says you don't need the sacraments, you can be declared righteous by faith alone. I'll just read it. Let him be anathema. That's me. According to the official teaching of the Roman Catholic Church, my teaching this morning is anathema. I am anathema. That means cursed. That means set apart for eternal destruction. Excommunicated from the Catholic Church, you will not go to heaven. That's the official doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church on justification by faith. I'm anathema. According to them, my eternal soul is damned. Google it. And you think this isn't relevant? And you think it doesn't break my heart as a pastor when I realize, as I've done recently, that doesn't matter whom, but there's a person who many, many years ago used to worship with us. I was working with the teens. and that person is now regularly worshiping at a Roman Catholic church? And I hear people say, come on, Greg, there's no difference. And I don't know what to say. There is a difference. Justification by faith matters. The Bible makes it crystal clear that it matters. And the Roman Catholic Church would say, if you believe it, there is no salvation for you. Council of Trent on the sacraments, I'll say it again, Canon 4, if you would like to Google that. That's the summary. So what's our conclusion this morning? Very simple. Have you received the blessing of being justified by faith and faith alone, becoming a child of Abraham? Are you one of the blessed? Are you a child of Abraham? You say, Greg, I'm like you. I was sprinkled as a little kid. I made my confirmation and my first communion and all of that. So yeah, so what? I don't care. It doesn't matter. It's like being circumcised. Who cares? Inconsequential is your faith in Jesus Christ. If your faith is in Jesus Christ, then like Abraham, Genesis 15:6, he believed in the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. If you are a believer in Jesus, last verse, then Galatians 3:8-9 applies to you. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. If your faith is in Jesus Christ, you're blessed. You are a blessed man. You are a blessed woman. If your faith is in Jesus Christ and you're not trusting in any religious ritual at all, not only was Abraham blessed and David was blessed, you are blessed. Rejoice in that. Believe that. Let that bring great soul joy, inner encouragement. Give thanks for that. And be weary of those who would question that, or worse, deny that. That's why Paul is so incredibly focused about this doctrine of justification by faith and faith alone. I trust that for every one of us this morning, we would say, you know, Greg, I don't know if I knew all of this, but one thing I know is I'm a blessed man. I'm a blessed woman. And I guess that means I'm a child of Abraham, because my faith is in Christ alone, by God's grace. I hope that's true for all of us. Let's pray.